A courier came toiling down the dusty lane, pushing his horse through the crowded troops. The man rode to Lee. In this army, Lee was always easy to find. The courier, whom Longstreet did not recognize, saluted, then for some unaccountable reason took off his hat, stood bareheaded in the sun, yellow hair plastered wetly all over his scalp.
"Message from General Hood, sir."
"Yes." Politely, Lee waited.
"General says to tell you the Yankees are moving troops up on the high rocky hill, the one to the right, and there's a signal team up there."
The Confederates did not know that the local name for that hill was Little Round Top. During the battle, their most common name for it was simply the Rocky Hill. Lee nodded, gave his compliments. That was to be expected. "Tell General Hood that General Meade might have saved himself the trouble. We'll have that hill before night." The courier put his hat back on and rode off. They rode on for a while in silence. Then Lee halted abruptly in the center of the road. He said, "I suppose I should be getting back. I'll only be in your way."
"Not at all," Longstreet said.
But it was Lee's practice to back off once the fight had begun and let the commanders handle it. He could see that Lee was reluctant to go. Gradually it dawned on him that Lee was worried for him. "You know," Lee said slowly, looking eastward again toward the heights, "when I woke this morning, I half thought he'd be gone, General Meade, that he would not want to fight here. When I woke up, I thought, yes, Meade will be gone, and Longstreet will be happy, and then I can please old Pete, my war horse."
"We'll make him sorry he stayed," Longstreet grinned.
"They fought well yesterday. Meredith's brigade put up a fine fight. They will fight well again today." Longstreet smiled.
"We'll see," he said.
Lee put out a hand. Longstreet took it. The grip was no longer quite so firm, the hand no longer quite so large.
"God go with you," Lee said.
It was like a blessing from a minister. Longstreet nodded. Lee rode off. Now Longstreet was alone, and now he felt a cold depression. He did not know why. He chewed another cigar. The army ahead halted. He rode past waiting men, gradually began to become annoyed. He looked up and saw Captain Johnston riding back, his face flushed and worried.
"General," Johnston said, "I'm sorry, but if we go on down this road, the enemy will view us."
Longstreet swore. He began to ride ahead, saw Joe Kershaw ahead, on horseback, waiting with his South Carolina brigade. Longstreet said,
"Come on, Joe, let's see what's up."
They rode together, Johnston following, across a road crossing from east to west. On the north corner, there was a tavern, deserted. The door opened into a black interior. Beyond the tavern was a rise, Her Ridge, Johnston said. A continuation of the ridge leading out from town, facing Seminary Ridge about a mile away, not 2 miles from the rocky hill. Longstreet rode up from under a clump of trees into the open. In front of him was a broad green field at least half a mile wide, spreading eastward. To the south loomed the rocky hill, gray boulders clearly visible along the top, and beyond it, the higher eminence of the Round Hill. Any march along here would be clearly visible to troops on that hill. Longstreet swore again.
"Damn!"
he roared, then abruptly shut his mouth. Johnston said worriedly,
"General, I'm sorry."
Longstreet said,
"But you're dead right. We'll have to find another road."
He turned to Kershaw.
"Joe, we're turning around. I'm taking over as guide. Send somebody for my staff."
Sorrell and Gorey were coming up, then Osmond Latrobe. Longstreet outlined the change. Both divisions would have to stop where they were and turn around. Longstreet rode gloomily back along the line.
God, how long a delay would there be? It was after 1 now.
Lee's attack was
en echelon. That took a long time. Well, we'll get this right in a hurry.
He sent Sorrel to Lee with word of the change of direction. Then he scouted for a new path.